You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
Hi. Wow, that was pretty high.
You're excited to be here.
Yeah.
We got a new venue.
We have a new... I like to change it up. This is pretty good, right?
All right. We're at the Cantos...
Castle.
I assume this is the dinner table?
This is the dinner table.
Nice.
Welcome.
Instead of the garage, we'll class it up a little.
We'll go out to the garage.
Can we?
We can go out to the garage.
Well, the garage is...
the arcade.
The garage is filled with goodies. A lot
yes,
of toys.
In fact, why don't we just get to the podcast later and go out to the garage?
Well, maybe we'll do that one day. Welcome. Where are we? What's going on? What is this?
Welcome to What Difference Does It Make?
The podcast.
Yes, where we talk all things 80s, but mostly music.
Is this going to be our new tagline?
I don't know. I just feel compelled to say it.
Well, you did.
Yeah. We love everything about the 80s.
We do. We grew up listening to KROQ 106.7 in Los Angeles. It was the rock of the 80s. And they still celebrate rock of the 80s on their HD2 channel. We are currently at what year?
We are celebrating 1983 with the 106.7 songs on KROQ from 1983.
Yes, and we are slowly counting them down in 10 song chunks, and right now we're at 60, and we won't stop until
we get enough.
Yeah, that was 1979, I believe. So we won't even talk about that. That's it.
I think we just did.
Okay, a little bit. Back in 1983, as most radio stations did, they had their top songs of the year, and because KROQ was a little quirky, they did their 106.7 songs of the year. Now they're not as quirkier.
They're not as quirky now.
You know what? I'm going to go with quirkier.
They are on HD2. Quirky.
Still, yes.
Yes.
If you go on their website, you will see the top 80 of each year. So there were 26.7 songs that were not on the list, that were left off the list in order for them to fit in the top 80 of each year. But we like to talk about the songs that were left behind. We like to talk about Jimmy the Hoover and whoever.
Pat Wilson.
A lot of songs that were lost through time. And it's kind of fun to revisit those songs. And that's kind of why we do that. It's a fun exercise, actually.
We also like to guess which songs were axed from the list.
Yes. I will ask Holly throughout our countdown if this song is still on the list or if it has been axed off and forever forgotten until right now when we're discussing the song.
Yes.
So there we go. That's it in a nutshell. Do we have a nutshell? Crack. Okay. Let's count them down, shall we?
Shall we, Casey?
All right. We start with number 60.
Yes. Were you a Thompson Twins fan?
What's not to love about the Thompson Twins?
You never can answer yes or no. There's always something more complicated about it.
No, I mean, it's...
Yes.
I love the Thompson Twins.
Yes.
No Thompsons, no twins, mm-hmm. No lies.
No, no lies.
They're going to get you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Their first top 40 hit here.
Was it?
Yes. And it was their first song to do better in the States than in the UK, where they're from.
Interestingly enough, this song... made up to 30 on the U.S. charts. However, on the dance charts, it hit number one.
How about that?
Yeah, I love that. Of course, that's when I started to do my deep dive.
And what did you find?
I wanted to look at what else, what other songs were number one in 1983 on the dance charts. And I think I'm going to make another Spotify playlist because this list is phenomenal.
What else did you come up with? All right. I'm dying to know.
All right. So we started off the year, 1983, on the dance charts. The song that greeted us was It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So that was 1 week at number one in 1983. Then it went to Lies, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then for 11 weeks, All Cuts off of Thriller.
All
Cuts, it says. 11 weeks there. Hmm. Okay, here's one that's going to surprise you. This spent 2 weeks at number one on the dance charts. Greg Kinn's Jeopardy.
On the dance charts.
On the dance charts.
I love in Jeopardy.
Pretty amazing. Then we go, there's an artist named Retta Hughes, Angel Man. She's a soul singer, musical theater actress. She sang backup on Feel Like Making Love.
And Feel Like Making Love, like Bad Company?
No. I feel like making love to you. You don't? No, that makes
it sounds like Bad Company to me.
No, no. No, that was Baby, when I think about you. I feel, you know, that was like, Vera Flack was, you know,
just, oh. I feel like making love. See, it sounds the same
to me. Lot. No. Completely different.
Okay.
So that was a hit. Then we had David Bowie's Let's Dance, of course.
A good one.
Then Irene Cara's Flash Dance.
What a feeling.
Dot, dot, dot. Not parentheses, but it was.
So we're in the year of the ellipsis?
This was 83. No, this is the year of
the parentheses.
The parentheses. So, yeah, Flash Dance, 3 weeks. Then we had, of course, some of these songs like Let's Dance was on the K-Rock list. Greg Kinn's Jeopardy is on the K-Rock list. The next song, Men Without Hats, The Safety Dance.
I can hear it.
Spell it out.
I'm not going to sing.
Okay.
S-S-S-S-A-A-A.
Yeah, there you go. So that was on number one on the dance charts. Mm. You know, So some dance, Let's Dance, Flash Dance, Safety Dance.
If it number had dance one. In it, it automatically went to number one on the dance chart.
Apparently. And then the Human League came along with their parentheses and told you to keep feeling.
Fascination.
That. Yes. Then there was this song, which reminded me of how much I it was just a crazy song. The band called Freeze. Do you remember Freeze? F-R-E-E-E-Z-I-O-U. And sometimes why.
Yes.
A-E-I-O-U. And sometimes why. They were initially known as one of the UK's main jazz funk bands of the early 80s.
Is that true?
I would hate to be known as a jazz funk band from the 80s. That sounds horrifying.
I don't know. You might be in a class by yourself with that.
Jazz funk. Okay.
That sounds like a really good category.
Yeah. And there's more. One of your favorites. Yaz. Nobody's Diary, right?
I love that song.
Yeah, but and it wasn't on their, this wasn't on K-Rock's list. It's still a great song. It's amazing. Yeah. This was their last song, actually. They broke up right after it. This was released.
I'm tearing up.
Oh, I know, but they're still, you know, still
out the music. Alison Moyet went on for some solo stuff.
Yeah. Still went gold in the UK. Yeah, made it up to, it says it peaked at number 69 on the Billboard 200. But
are we talking about Yaz?
Nobody's Diary. That was the end of Yaz, but still, what's a good swan song. Then there was this song called by this artist Slingshot, who did this medley, or actually it was a mashup of Billie Jean, the song Billie Jean, mashed into Do It Again, the Steely Dan song.
I do not remember that.
Yeah. That was number one on the dance charts for a week. It was kind of fun. I don't know if there were maybe that's the first mashup. I remember that was a thing for a while. But that became a hit. Then we go to Herbie Hancock's Rocket for 4 weeks. Madonna made her first appearance with Holiday and Lucky Star. 5 weeks. Shannon, Let the Music Play. I mean, these are great songs.
Get Away.
The Romantics, Talking in Your Sleep, 2 weeks. And then, of course, we ended 1983 with Hall & Oates, Say It Isn't So. See,
it was a good year. It was a good year for the dance chart, too.
Indeed. That's why we cut it up in 1983.
Maybe we should migrate over to the dance chart.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's, I don't know.
Ebbs and flows, ebbs and downs.
Yeah, it started to move in a different direction dance. But I think it probably in 82, 81, 82, 83. That was probably like the prime years where it was like K-Rock and dance kind of melded together.
That's pretty funny because you see what number 59 is. I know we're not necessarily ready to move on yet.
Yes, I was going to lead right into that. Dance, dance, dance. Okay, before
that's
we go
not
to
the song, by the way, dance, dance, dance.
Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Yes, very good.
Before we go, we say goodbye to Thompson Twins and Lies, which you really didn't talk too much about.
This is absolutely on the top 80.
Yes, it is. Number 55 on the update.
Okay.
Very good. All right. So lead us into number 59. As long as we're talking dancing, what do you got?
The politics of dancing.
Yeah.
Reflex.
Re-flex.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think it's said that way, though. Yeah, but this was not on number one on the dance chart.
Made it up to number 8 on the dance chart.
Oh, very good. Yes.
I knew you were going to ask that, so I had it at the ready.
Very good.
Yeah, so this did pretty well as well. It peaked at 28. Do you like this song?
I like it. I do like it. I don't love it.
It sounds perfectly fit, perfectly placed in 1983. It feels like a Bowie song a little bit.
Yes.
You know, like they're trying to
emulate
what David Bowie might sound like.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're right about that. This was their only album.
Oh, yeah.
They were a one. Yeah.
One hit.
I don't know why that surprised me, but
it's a good song. And it kind of fits in with today, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The lyrics, if this message understood, we're under pressure. Yes, we're counting on you. Like what you say is what you do. It's in the papers. It's on your TV news. Oh, the application is just a point of view. Well, you know you can't stop it. When they start to play, you're going to get out of the way. And then the politics of dancing. So it's kind of, getting the message out there. And of course, before social media, there used to be a thing called the TV news.
I still watch TV
news. There still is the TV. Actually, they are doing the politics of dancing on the TV news.
Yeah.
There is a lot of that.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah. So
I do watch it because we're old. We're in that demographic.
Well, yeah, but it's still relevant lyrically.
Yeah. Yes. So it holds up is what you're saying.
That is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Bummer. Only one album and this was their only hit.
Okay. Only hit. Is it still on the charts?
Oh, that is a good question. I didn't even anticipate that question.
Welcome to the podcast. This is What Difference Does It Make? The podcast.
I do not think it's on the list.
It is on the list.
Okay.
Number 54.
I could have gone that way too.
Understood. All right. So you're 1 for 2.
All right. So I can still get an A.
Yeah. Well, you're at 50%, which is not an A. Yeah,
but I can. I'm thinking ahead.
You can. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
It's still a possibility. I need to know that I have something to strive for.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Let's move up the charts to number 58.
Hazy Fantasy.
Shiny, shiny.
Yes. Do you like the song?
I have mixed feelings about this song.
What are your mixed feelings about it?
At the time, I thought it was super obnoxious.
I'm sure you did.
And then I was watching the video, and they're like, they remind me of like Dexy's Midnight Runners. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the goofball lead singer, who I thought was just a goofball. And then I saw Kate Garner, and I fell in love with her. And I'm like, oh my god, who is this? Like,
that's it. That's all it took for you.
Yeah, you know, listening to it again, I think I kind of liked it. Is also very much of the time. There's a little fiddle, you know. Both the singers are wearing dreadlocks.
He had that Boy George thing going too. A little of the Boy George.
Did you see that thing?
Okay. There was an interview. Are you talking about an interview? Yeah.
Go ahead. What about it? Is there something? Was Boy George offended by his look?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The lead singer of Hazy Fantasy.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't it? His name is Jeremy Healy.
Yes.
I guess also known as Jeremiah. He said that Boy George stole his look.
Oh, yeah?
Isn't that how it...
Can you own a look?
I don't think you can own a look, can you?
Jeremy Healy accused Boy George of imitating his look.
Yeah.
And Boy George later responded, when Jeremy saw my locks, he was livid. Both he and Kim stopped speaking to me. They thought I had stolen their look. Oh. It wasn't their look to steal.
Yes, I saw that.
So anyway, let's get back to Kate Gardner, who is spectacular.
Yes, she is. And
it's
you're off in your own Kate Gardner world now.
I have my suit tissue, and now I have my Kate Gardner.
Oh, you're fixating.
I fixate a lot.
So then did you also watch the Who's That Girl video? And
Yeah, I saw she was in that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I went down the Kate Garner rabbit hole.
Oh, do you tell? Wow, you had a pretty productive week.
It's just, I'm pathetic. But anyway, she's a photographer now. She's involved in painting, photography, video. She collaborated with Sinead O'Connor for her Lion and the Cobra album cover. And she's photographed Dr. Dre, Angelina Jolie, Kate Blanchett, PJ Harvey, Bjork, Kate Moss, David Bowie. You know, her photographs have appeared in Harper's Bazaar and W and GQ, you know, all the usual suspects. So, yeah, she's very talented. I was looking through her photographs and just amazing. I know. Stop it.
It's amazing how you accomplish anything.
And now all of a sudden I'm following her on Hazy Kate.
Is that her Instagram?
That's her Twitter account. It's okay. H-A-Y-S-I Kate.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm head over heels, and it's pathetic. But
it's really sweet.
Is it? Or is it more stalky?
It's borderline stalky, okay. But as long as you just leave it right, you know, right
probably
where
will.
It is.
Yeah. No, yeah. I respect all her artwork, and I like her.
You're parroting somebody?
Yeah, no, not at all. But, yeah, just watching the shiny video, and she was a looker.
She was a looker. I'll give it. Hey, all right, Grandpa.
I know. She was a cat's meow, I tell you. 23 Skidoo. What is this? Are we talking about the hits of the 20s, of 1920s?
Well, you know, the people from the 30s thought that was the best era for music.
Oh, God. All right.
Okay, wait, before we get off, Hazy Fantasy.
Yeah, you still have something.
No, I'm just wondering if you remembered the song. I Shiny Shiny was the only song I knew of theirs.
No, I do remember they had this other one.
John Wayne is Big Leggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means, but I do remember that song.
Okay. I was curious.
Yeah, so those were their two hits, and they did okay.
And then they moved on.
And then you move on, you do other things.
Yeah.
Good on them. That's what we're trying to do here.
This is what we've moved on to, a podcast.
Yeah. Is Hazy Fantasy Shiny Shiny still on the K-Rock list? Shiny, shiny, bad times behind me.
I want to say yes.
No chance.
But I'm going to say no.
No chance. No chance. What'd you say, yes or no?
I'm saying no.
No chance would mean the opposite, meaning it is still on the list. Update. It's on the update at number 53.
Wow, I suck today.
That's all right. You're okay. 1 for 3.
All right.
So follow Hazy Kate on Twitter.
Okay.
We're going to get Kate Garner into the studio?
Yes.
I think after this, she's going to stay as I'm going to get a restraining order. That's what we've learned. All right. Speaking of stalking, let's talk about Adam Ant. All right. Now it's your turn to
stalk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Puss in Boots.
Do you remember this song?
I do.
Yeah?
Of course. Don't you?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, it's stuck with me a little bit when I played it again.
Yeah. You probably weren't as big an Adam Ant fan.
No, because that was something for my sister to be into. Yes. This was, you know, from Strip. Like, I didn't need to be any part of that.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, looking back, it's a good album. It's a very good album.
It's a great album.
Okay. Calm down.
It's funny you say that. So, okay. And every time Adam Ant now appears in 1983, I'm going to remind you that I am going to see him in May with my RE, who also happens to be very excited to see him.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Do you think the drummer from this song will be playing at that show? Do you know who the drummer is on Puss in Boots?
I don't.
You don't?
Who?
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for your head to explode?
I'm holding on. Okay.
Your head's going to explode.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
When you think of drummers from the 80s, who do you think of that are not Canadian?
Terry Bozzio.
Oh, I forgot who I'm talking to.
Stuart Copeland?
No. Keep going. But that's a good guess.
Huh. It's not Sheila E.
No? What's worth it? That's a decent guess. He also had a solo career.
Phil Collins?
Yes.
Phil Collins played on Puss in Boots?
Yes, he played the drums on Puss in Boots. How about that?
No, I don't think he'll be making an appearance on May 16th when we go to see them. Do you?
No, not at all. Here's a fun fact I learned about Puss in Boots. Did you watch the video?
Not when I was doing my research this time.
Oh, you did not do good research because you did not go on the Celebrating Cats in Movies and Television website.
Again, you had more time than me this week.
Yes.
All I can see is Antonio Banderas now.
No, well, I mean, in the video, he dresses up. Okay, so he dresses up as a mouse, and there's a temptress who is able turns into a cat.
A temptress.
Yes.
Is that another word from the 20s?
Yeah. Damn you, Holly. Anyway, so from this website, I learned that the actress who's playing the part of the pussycat is Karen Landau, and the cat actor was reportedly named Shabs. So there you go. Shabs the cat.
That is a fun fact.
It is.
Shabs is a good name.
So next time if you have a cat, maybe you should change his name to Shabs.
Then how would they come when I called them?
Yeah, that's true. Cats are all about that.
Shabs, okay. And Karen Landau is?
She turned into the cat.
Okay.
It's kind of a fairy tale going on.
Yeah.
If you remember the video, which we might post on the website, maybe. One day we're going to post
post some videos, right?
Yeah.
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 All right. Puss in Boots by Adam Ant from the album Strip. Still relevant because you're going to see him.
On
May 16th. However, is this still on the list? Keep in mind, you are 1 for 3 right now, so choose wisely.
Okay, there are going to be plenty of Adam Ant songs on the list, I think, or others, if not many. So I do not think Puss in Boots is still on the list.
You were putting a lot of thought into that, and that's good because that is correct. This is not on the list.
Yes. So am I 2 for 4?
2 for 4. You're back to 50%.
Okay. Hey, did you know that that Adam Ant dated Jamie Lee Curtis and Heather Graham? Not at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. At least that's the information I have. I don't want to spread any gossip.
That's quite Jamie Lee is how much older than Heather Graham?
Could be Heather Graham's, probably.
So he aged out of the Jamie Lee Curtis girlfriend, and so he had to move into a younger model, which happens.
I don't know which was first. We're assuming that Jamie Lee Curtis was first.
Of course. Yes. Are you kidding? Jamie Lee Curtis in 1983? All right. Don't get me started.
Yes.
I'm going to go down.
Oh,
the,
yes. She, yes. Yes.
That's Trading Places right there. That's all right.
She's
You don't even want to go in my head right now because I'm at Trading Places right now, which is not good. And then I'll go to Roller Girl, which is not the same thing. Yeah. Good on Adam, man.
Yeah,
it's good to be a rock star, right?
It must be.
One day we're going to be rock stars. We should try and.
One day.
Yeah.
How about now? Can I be one now?
You want to be a rock star now.
But wait, along with being a rock star comes stalkers. And he had a stalker.
Oh, much like I'm the stalker
Kane Garner. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it was 3 years she tormented him. She actually entered his house once and left him a cake.
Have you stopped, Holly? What type of cake did you make him?
It's chocolate.
Oh, good.
I heard he likes it.
All right, so good. I'm glad we're both,
guilty with Adamant.
Stalking. In case you're wondering who's going to be on the cover of our little...
Prisoner Magazine.
Of our pocket. There's always a featured picture.
Oh, yes.
I wonder who's going to be on the front of this.
We're going to be fighting between Kate Garner and Adamant.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll see what happens. All right, Holly, I'm staring at some donuts.
Can we take a break and get some donuts?
For sure. Let's do that.
Okay, but totally. Make sure you wash it down so we can understand you when we come back.
All right.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these 3 EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to What Difference Does It
Make? Welcome back to What Difference Does It Make? That was Dave and his donut.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, we finished all that, right?
Yeah.
We can move
we're
on.
We're done. We're moving on from Adamant.
Okay, moving on from... I'm sorry. We have to move on.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, I hope you have some good info, some good intel on number 56, which is toy dolls.
Nelly the Elephant.
Yes.
Tell me something. What a song. Yes. So this was a children's song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of punk bands do this. Like they would take a syrupy hit and just kind of speed it up and punk it up. You know, like, oh, let's take this Carpenter song and just, make it irrelevant because we're punks. And sometimes it worked really well. And it worked well for this band, the Toy Dolls, who I guess this was their thing that they seemed to do.
They did it with not kid songs, but they did it with a lot of covers.
Yeah. So that was kind of a novelty. This one worked, actually. It was a hit in the UK. Or actually, it wasn't a hit. The original was from 1956, and it was recorded by an English child actress named Mandy Miller. And it really wasn't a hit song, but it was played a lot on the BBC, and apparently it kind of struck people's fancy. You know, you hear that song, and kind of through osmosis, you kind of pick up on a song that's a childhood favorite, like, you know, not even watching it, you seem to know.
You hear it.
Yeah. I never officially heard Baby Shark, but yet I still hear, it's still in my head. And I think this is one of those songs where it just kind of, everyone just seems to know it.
Like Schoolhouse Rock
for
our generation.
Right, right. Something like that. Yeah exactly. Do you know who produced this original song from 1956?
Do tell.
I will tell you, it was George Martin.
Really?
Yes.
Credit, instant credibility.
6 years before he started working with the Beatles.
Oh, he produced the original. He didn't produce the punk version?
No. No. Surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of a fun little thing. And and so the Toy Dolls did it and it reached number 4 in the UK. Stayed on the charts for 14 weeks. So good on them.
Good on them.
I mean, the chorus is just, I don't even want to say the chorus just because it's got a curse word in it, but I'll still say it.
You can say it. This is a podcast. You can say it.
So it's Nelly the Elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump.
Oh, fuck.
Exactly, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I will edit that out. I'll just
put it
beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Toy Dolls, Nelly the Elephant was number 56 way back in 1983. Is this song still on the charts?
I'm trying to channel my inner Freddy Snakeskin.
Well, I guess, yeah, he is the PD of the updated version.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think so.
You don't think so? Well, I will tell you.
You're killing me.
All right. It's still on the update. It's still on the updated list. It's number 52.
Okay. Well, it doesn't surprise me. It wasn't my guess, but it doesn't surprise me.
Okay. Well, that puts you at 2 for 5.
So you're
at 40% now. Okay.
All right. All right. Remember, okay. Remedial math.
Okay. All right. Let's move on up to 55.
And House in the Sky.
Yeah.
Yes. Big Country.
Okay. This is number 55. Big Country. Fields of Fire.
Fields of Fire from The Crossing.
Yeah.
Which only went to number 52 here, by the way, that the song.
That song.
Yes, that song. Yes, I know. They had a big
hit. They had two hits.
Yes.
From that album. This was an album that I bought and I loved, and I thought these guys are going to be huge. I thought this was good. This was the first of many, 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 many song things to come.
Like, yeah.
Because I mean, this was just a phenomenal record, and I love Fields of Fire. I love the sound of the guitars. Sound like bagpipes and just, it was just epic songs.
Yeah.
It felt like, it kind of felt like a U2 song, or, you know, like, like I thought U2 and Big Country would be competing against each other.
Oh, well, I guess in 1983, that was war. Who knew they were going to be, you know,
right. Right. But yeah, they were, Big Country was big then, or, you know, what I thought was just the start of something big.
But they did also, I think their videos were kind of epic.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Well, the same type of thing, like from U2 and The Alarm, bands like that.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved that sound, and that attracted me a lot. So I thought, oh my God, these three bands are going to be, I need to follow these guys. Big Country kind of comes to a tragic, has a tragic story that Stuart Adamson, who was the lead singer, had some alcohol problems, and he ended up dying by suicide in 2001.
It was tragic.
Very sad. And just to kind of cap my point during the, you know, artists kind of write in or just pay homage to the artists. Mm-hmm. There was one where The Edge said that that Adamson had written the songs that he wished U2 had written. So, yeah, which makes sense.
Pretty nice tribute.
Yeah. Big Country they were big.
Yeah.
They were big. I was hoping. I remember I saw them at the Palladium during.
You did. Yeah. He had a good look too.
Yeah, they're all just that guitar sound, just big epic sound, and so I like that a lot.
You know, the song was originally called 400 Miles.
Yeah, I think this was before there was 500 Miles.
Yeah,
before this Scottish duo wrote 500 Miles, there was this Scottish band that wrote 400 Miles.
Do you know why?
Well, they say 400 miles in the song.
Yeah,
but
do you know why? What the significance is of the 400 miles?
Oh, please tell me.
They were taking, Stuart Adamson and Bruce Watson were taking regular trips from Edinburgh to London, and that's the distance between those two cities.
Oh, that's, okay.
And that's the chorus, 400 miles without a word until you smile.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Is this song, Fields of Fire by Big Country, is this on the update?
I want to say yes because I love the song, but I am going to say yes. And I'm certain I'm wrong.
Don't let my nodding throw you off.
Don't mess with me.
Okay. Don't mess with your head. Okay. Give me your final answer.
My final answer is yes.
It is not on the list.
Wow. I am blowing it today.
Okay. Where are we now? So six. Two for six. Yeah.
I've gotten one third right.
Yeah. There you go. See? Math.
Mathier than I thought.
Okay. All right, let's go on to number 54.
Which is?
A beautiful song by New Order called Blue Monday, possibly the greatest song of all time.
Oh, listen to you.
No, it was. I'm a little upset it was only 54.
50, at number 54, yeah.
Yeah.
It only got to number 68 here.
Yeah, I know, but it's, I mean, when you think about influence and.
Oh, I know.
And this song, I think it was everything.
And longevity, certainly.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Actually, I looked on YouTube, like the comments. Sometimes comments can be cruel, and sometimes they can be
insightful.
Funny. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they're very insightful. So this, there were two that that made me kind of go, yep, yep, yep.
What? Tell me.
Actually, one made me go, yep, 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 and one made me kind of chuckle. So the one that where I went... where it's true, very insightful. This is from Freddie_Hall1 mm-hmm. says, people in 1980, this makes me want to be in the 2020s. people in 2020. This makes me want to go back to the 80s. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. I can see that. Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know if that's a foreshadowing, foresight. Or just, I don't know.
No, that's both in the past and in the future. Yeah. When you hear this song, it's like, it still sounds fresh.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It does. I mean, it's just such a brilliant sound and everything is amazing. The one that made me kind of chuckle is from LaSage Williams.
Yes.
Who said, he put in a quote saying, "The Cure says, I don't care if Monday's blue. New Order says, bet." So there you go. Apparently, this is the best-selling 12-inch single of all time.
I believe that easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To show you how futuristic it is, the 1983 edition artwork is designed to resemble a 5 1/4-inch floppy disk. Remember the floppy disk?
I vividly remember the floppy disk.
That was so 1983. And we still use it to this day. That's how futuristic they are. Yes.
You do, do you?
Oh, I do. Of course. I'm very old school.
Do you have a typewriter?
I should. Hmm. All right. So this made it, this was number one on the UK indie charts. In the UK singles, it was number 9. On the US dance charts, it was number 5, which is a crime. I don't know why that didn't hit number 1. And anything further you got? What else you got for me?
I just have one little fun.
Please do.
I don't know if it's a fact, but the keyboardist, her name was Jillian Gilbert.
Still is?
Yes, it is.
She hasn't changed her name. Is it Kate Garner now? Is she in the band?
So everything leads back to Kate Garner. Yeah. No, she did an interview in 2013. She said the song was made possible in part by flatulence.
Why are you ruining this for me?
She said the synthesizer melody is slightly out of sync with the rhythm, which was an accident. It was her job to program the entire song from beginning to end, which she did manually by inputting every note. So she says he had the sequence all written down on loads of paper, mm-hmm. all taped together. She said she accidentally left a note out, which skewed the melody. She said we'd bought ourselves an Emulator 1, an early sampler, and used it to add snatches of choir-like voices from Kraftwerk's album, Radioactivity, as well as recordings of Thunder. Bernard and Stephen had worked out how to use it by spending hours recording farts.
I believe the drummer would do that. I mean, Stephen Morris, the drummer. That sounds like a drummer thing. But Bernard, come on.
See, I have a ton of facts here, but that's the one my eyes were drawn to.
I understand.
It's farts. It's all about the fart.
Is this song on the updated list?
Yes.
Okay. Is it at number one where it should be?
No, it is not.
Okay. Yes. This is number 50 on the updated list.
Okay. Wow. I wouldn't expect it to be that far down.
No. Well, it was 54 back then. It's 50 now.
Still.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. All right, so that gives you 3, right?
That gives me 3, so I'm 3 for 7?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I'll get the rest of them.
So let's move on to number 53. This is
Duran Duran with The Reflex, the reflex.
Why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this? Because it was number 1 here and in the UK. Why are we including...
I don't know. I just
why are we doing this?
Yeah. By the way, okay. So that you know that why that thing.
Don't you? Yes.
All right. Label hated that.
Really?
Hated it. Duran Duran wanted to release this as their first single, and the label's like, no, people will not.
Whoa.
This is going to freak them out. This why. So that was not their first single. So they.
Leave it to the label.
Yeah, leave it to the label, who always knew. because this became their first number one song in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came out, the album came out in, actually, this came number one in 1984, because the album, I guess, K-Rock was ahead of it. They understood the power of this song. The 7 and the Ragged Tiger came out in November of 83, mm-hmm. and the single... was released in 84. I think this was the song that I think cemented my
your fandom.
My fandom, like, oh, this is a great song. I really liked it.
It was an interesting choice.
Yeah, it ended up being the number 16 biggest song of 1984 according to Billboard, and it reached number one in both the U.S. and the U.K.
Yeah. This is not my favorite Duran Duran song, but I do get it. I get the hit. Did you know that Nile Rodgers did the remix, and that's when they released it as a single? Not surprisingly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Turns things into hits. Yeah. He's like
like
the cowbell, Bruce Dickinson, who puts his pants on one leg at a time. But then when after he does that, he makes gold records. It's from like the cowbell sketch from SNL.
Something else I gotta look at.
You haven't memorized that sketch?
No. No, and now I'm gonna have to go back and look at it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. It was kind of fun. The B side of The Reflex is this song from the UK called Make Me Smile, which I didn't know. And it was a hit in 1975. It was number one in the UK, made it all the way up to 96 in the US, which is probably why I didn't know what it was. But apparently Duran Duran loved it, and they did a version of this. Erasure's also done a version of this song. I went to the 1975 version. It's great. It's just, that's kind of a fun song.
Who is it?
Make Me Smile by Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel. Yes. I
don't
know. I didn't look any further. I wanted to see if Kate Garner was on there, but she didn't. She wasn't on it.
You were chasing her everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad. So anyway, the Reflex, brilliant. Did I ask you if the Reflex is still on this update?
It is.
It is for sure. It is number 49.
Yes. Again, also surprised that it's that far down.
Okay, so that is, where are we now? So that was four? Are you 4 for 8?
I am 4 for 8.
Okay, so we're back at 50%. Okay.
Jeez.
Okay. This doesn't get any easier.
Oh, it does. I know I know the next two.
Do you?
Yes.
The answer may surprise you. All right.
52.
You excited about the number?
Yeah.
It's the number of cards in the deck. Is that why you're excited about 52?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my gambling nature.
I know that about you.
Yeah.
Okay. Spandau Ballet, Lifeline.
I cannot exude enough excitement about this song.
Really?
I love this song. Yes. Do you?
I like it. It's fine. It's a catchy song. By the way, so we set the record straight, because we seemed to be confused the last time. Tony Hadley is the vocalist. Gary Kemp is the songwriter.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Are we clear on that now?
Yes. Also, Tony Hadley in 2017 tweeted out that due to circumstances beyond his control, he was no longer a member of Spandau Ballet.
If circumstances beyond his control?
Yes.
That mean he was given the boot?
I'm going to assume that was what happened. However, So if you see Spandau Ballet, you will not see Tony Hadley.
Well, that's a bummer. Okay, I'll let
you
know.
It was a great voice. It's a very good voice. It's still, I'm sure it's still an amazing voice.
We just won't hear it with Spandau Ballet.
We just will not hear it with Spandau Ballet. Mm. Okay, is this on the update?
My instinct was to say yes. I want it to be there, so I'm going to channel. I'm going to will it onto the list.
You're
going to
will it onto the list. Yeah. Keep trying to will, because it is not on this list.
I'm so disappointed.
Well, I don't know if there's going to be any other Spandau Ballet songs. We shall find out.
Coming up soon.
Well, not on this episode. All right, so that means you are, what is it, 4 for 9?
Wow. I do suck.
All right, here we go. Let's see if we can make it to 50%.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I can.
Okay. Let's just end the drama. No?
Oh, well.
Yeah, let's just end the drama. Is this on the list? This is The Cure's Let's Go to Bed.
Yeah.
Okay, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, but can you...
Okay, so 5 out of 10. Let's... So now that, you know, I wanted to just end all that drama. Let's go ahead. Go ahead and tell me everything you know about this song.
I love it. Well, and this was from Japanese Whispers, which was actually released in 1982. I don't know why I'm surprised, but it went to 109 here and only 44 in the UK.
Yeah, this was, well, it was kind of a departure for The Cure at the time.
Yes, it was.
They were playing gothy type songs.
Yeah.
And this was kind of a little upbeat. Kind of
a little more upbeat than what they played.
Yeah. It was kind of like a different play for them. It was kind of a little pivot for the Cure.
They pivoted, but I followed them.
Understand. It was a good pivot because, you know, they just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Would you like me to, there was a quote that Robert Smith was talking about this song. Can I read it to you?
Yes, please do.
Kind of in relation to what we were talking about. He said, when I took Let's Go to Bed to Fiction, the record label, and played it to them, it was like silence. They looked at me like, this is it? He's really lost it. They said, you can't be serious. Your fans are going to hate it. I understood that, but I wanted to get rid of all that. I didn't want this side of life anymore. I wanted to do something that's really kind of cheerful. I thought, this isn't going to work. No one's ever going to buy into this. It's so ludicrous that I'm going to go from goth idol to pop star in three easy lessons. And much to his surprise, it became a hit.
Yeah. I guess trying to take myself back to 1983, maybe I should be more surprised, but I'm not.
Yeah. Well, their audience changed. Suddenly they had Holly Kantos as their fans.
A fan before, but I was cemented as a fan.
It became, as Robert Smith said, suddenly we had young, predominantly female teenage audience. He said, actually, on the West Coast particularly, we had a young, predominantly female teenage audience.
Yeah, that was me.
It went from intense, menacing, psychotic goths to people with perfect white teeth. It was a very weird transition, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. He says we followed it up with The Walk and Love Cats and just felt totally liberated. Yeah. So this was their pivot.
Yeah. I was all in, obviously. We know this. I'm glad they took the pivot. I found something interesting about this, which I had no idea. Alternative station in Boston, WFNX.
Yeah, legendary. Kind of like what KROQ is on the West Coast. There was WFNX.
There was, yes.
Yes.
This song, Let's Go to Bed, was the first song they played when they signed on it in 1983, and it was the last song they aired when they went off the air July 20th, 2012.
That's fitting.
Yeah.
All right. We should do the same with our podcast for this episode. Let's just put this to bed, this episode to bed, right after we take our quiz.
Oh, our quiz. I thought you were pointing at the donuts. I thought we were going to eat some more donuts.
Well, donuts are coming up soon. That's why I want to wrap this up. There's donuts awaiting for me.
Okay. All right. So are you asking me or am I asking
you? I don't know. You write it in the book, Holly. What do you got? I think I ask you.
Here's the problem.
I don't remember. See, I told you we were going to have this problem. Yeah. You said you were going to remember.
Okay. So you're going to ask me the questions.
Okay. Excellent. Let's get started, shall we?
Let's get started. Let's go crazy.
All right. So this is quiz 13.
Maybe I can redeem myself. Was I 6
Probably
for 10?
Not. I see a lot of years on this. So
crap.
All right. Are you ready?
Ready, Freddy.
All right. Here we go. In which year was the Lionel Richie album Can't Slow Down released? 83, 85, 87?
85.
That is incorrect. 83.
Okay.
0 for 1. Who had success in 1985 with the song Alive and Kicking?
Simple Minds.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you. 1 for 2.
1 for 2. Which song by Lionel Richie begins with the lines, "What is happening here? Something is going on." Running with the Night, All Night Long, Dancing on the Ceiling.
All Night Long.
That is incorrect. You're dancing on the ceiling.
You can see that I'm not a huge Lionel Richie
you
fan.
You should be.
I know I should be. And I hear he puts on a fantastic show.
You're always in Vegas. He's in Vegas.
I know.
Get to it.
When I start going to see shows in Vegas, he'll be the first after Britney.
You go to...
And Aerosmith.
Which of these albums by The Police was released first? Synchronicity, Zenyatta Mandata, Ghost in the Machine. Come on,
Zenyatta Mandata.
Excellent. All right, 2, 4, 4. In which year did Whitney Houston release the song I Know Him So Well? 87, 88, 89?
87.
That is incorrect.
88.
Yes, that is correct. 2 for 5. In what year did U2 release the album Rattle and Hum? You got this. 87, 88, 89.
89.
Oh, 88.
I knew it was one of those.
Okay. Because 87, Joshua Tree, and then the next year.
Well.
One goes into the other. All right. In 1980, the group U2 released its debut album. What was its title? I'm not even going to give you the choices. If you don't answer correctly, I will throw you off this podcast.
What year was it? 1980?
Yeah, 1980. Yeah. Their first album was called...
It was October?
No, boy.
I always do that.
Leave it. Okay, that's it. You're off the podcast.
Yeah, I'm fired. You should fire me for not for getting that wrong.
In what year did Michael Jackson release the single Bad? 83, 85, 87.
85?
No. 87.
It's always my second choice.
All right. Well, go with your second choice then. Which of these songs by Phil Collins was not associated with the film Buster? Against All Odds, Groovy Kind of Love, Two Hearts.
Against All Odds.
That is true. See, you went with your first choice that time. Good choice.
I knew I was right.
All right. The song Holiday was released by what artist?
Oh, Madonna.
Yes.
Please don't give me go. A year.
4 out of 10.
This was a bad...
40%.
This was a bad guessing day.
Oh, that's okay. Have a donut. That'll maybe make you feel better.
Maybe it was because I had the half a donut before.
My strategy works.
We did this.
All right. So put in that you ask me the questions next week.
Okay.
It's driving me crazy.
Okay.
All right. So I'll wrap it up. Are you ready to wrap it up?
Oh, time to go?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Let's go have some more donuts.
Yes, time for donuts. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can you follow us? What's going on?
We are What Difference Does It Make, the podcast.
Yes.
In case you are wondering what it was you were listening to, this is What Difference Does It Make. You can find us on Twitter, WDDIM Podcast, Instagram, WDDIM Podcast, and What Difference Does It Make on Facebook. And check out our website.
It should be up and running.
Look at what difference does it make.
Doing something. Okay, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.